Luke 13:22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." This is the word of God. Let me pray. Father God, we sang that your word is a hammer and a fire. We ask now that those of us with hearts of stone, your word would break it and give us hearts of flesh. We ask that your word would purify us here tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. A friend of mine from Nottingham recently went to a dinner, and the main guest at this dinner was an actor who once played James Bond. And he, being quite a fan, decided that he would go along. You know what sometimes happens at these things is the meal, and then there's he gives a talk for, say, 45 minutes or an hour, and then there's a few questions afterwards. Now, my friend was telling me that as long as the question stayed nice and general, then that certain actor was fine. As long as it was about his favorite film, as long as it was about his the actors that he worked with, as long as it was about the locations he had been to, nice and general, nice and safe, he was quite happy. The minute it got a little bit personal, the moment a question became a little bit more specific, perhaps about family, perhaps his view on the world, anything at all of a personal nature, a specific question aimed at him, his reply was, "Next question, please." He didn't want to get personal at all. He wanted to stay at a safe distance. He wanted to keep it nice and general. I'm sure all of us know some people like that, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord Jesus. People who might ask us about church, people who might ask us, you know, what are your Christian friends like? What did you do on a Sunday? But if we were ever to make it personal, well, that's too far. You've come too close. I don't want to know. You know, tonight in our passage, someone comes to Jesus with a nice, safe, general question. Lord Jesus, how many people are going to be saved? I've heard you speaking about, you know, the parables of the mustard seed, the parables of the yeast. You know, you've been talking about things that start off quite small and grow big. How many are going to be saved? How many people are going to be in God's kingdom? How many people are going to be rescued from their sins? And Jesus turns round to the man, or the person in the crowd who asks. He says that the final day of judgment isn't a general question. The final day of judgment is a very, very personal question. And in some ways, it's the most personal question that can ever be asked. It's not how many are going to be saved. Jesus asks, are you saved? Are you saved? And that's the essence of what Jesus is talking about tonight. Are you saved? Don't worry about the number. It's not a general question. It's a very personal one. On the day of judgment, on that end time, when men and women from around the world are going to be gathered to face judgment, are you going to be saved? Are you going to be saved? Are you going to share in the place of unending joy or share in the place of unending punishment? Very personal. And Jesus tonight is so concerned for us and for the person who spoke to him in the crowd, that he teaches him what it is to be saved. The first thing he says is, being saved is to enter through the narrow door. Let me read verse 23 and 24. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter it and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. As Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem for that one final occasion, that one last time, where he's going to die for the sins of men and women around the world, as he's going to die for my sins and for your sins, this question comes out of the crowd. And Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Jesus pictures salvation as a house with an owner. And the way to be saved, the way to be sure that on the last day that you're going to be rescued, is to enter through one narrow door, one little entrance. Now, those of us who have been Christians a while probably know and understand what Jesus is talking about here. But Jesus doesn't really explain what he means. So in case you're here tonight, and this is the first time you've ever looked at this passage, the narrow door is the Lord Jesus himself. If we want to be saved from the end time judgment, if we want to be saved from our sins, if we want to avoid God's wrath, we need to trust in Jesus himself. The narrow door is the Lord Jesus. There's only one way. There's only one door, as narrow as that is. And as he says, enter through the narrow door, he's saying that there's not many other doors. It's not like going to a football stadium and there's turnstiles and you pick which one to enter through. It's not like when you go to a big music arena and you can go into one door or the other, like the Albert Hall. He says there's one narrow door. And when he says that, he's saying not all religions are saying the same thing. He's not saying that, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. He's not saying that, you know what, God's a forgiving God, so it doesn't matter how you live your life, because everything will be okay in the end. He's not saying that. He's saying there's one narrow door. The only way to be rescued is to trust in the Lord Jesus. And we've got to enter through him. We can only be saved. We can only escape God's judgment if we do that. You know, the truth is, we don't really deserve to be saved. We don't really deserve to be rescued. Salvation should be completely locked up for us. We should be locked out. You know, the shutters should be down, the padlocks should be up, the bars should be across the doors and the window. Because so often I've rejected God, so often I've lived my life deserving his punishment, deserving nothing but his wrath. The door should be closed and bolted. And yet there's one narrow door that we can go through. Our generous Father sent the Lord Jesus to open up the door. And as he died on that cross, that one afternoon, that one day in history, as God laid my end-time judgment on him, as my sin was laid on the Lord Jesus, and he took my punishment, he took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. Jesus paid the price. His righteousness was put on me. That narrow door was opened up, and I could enter through it. It's not like going to a football stadium with the turnstiles. There's not many doors, there is one. We have to turn and trust in the Lord Jesus for the salvation of our souls. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and then you will be saved. And Jesus says to the crowd, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And in a church like ours, we can see those words, make every effort. And it makes us feel a little bit uneasy. Because are we saying here that I've got to do something? I've got to work hard to earn this? Aren't we a church that talks about grace? Well, we are. And you can't do anything to earn your salvation. Here's what I think Jesus is saying here. His offer is time limited. His offer of salvation, the offer to walk through the narrow door, will only last as long as we're alive on this earth. We don't know how long any of us have. And we have to think about the Lord Jesus. We've got to trust in his message right now while we're still alive. Because when we're dead, it'll be too late. Because verse 25 says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading. Sir, open the door for us. But it'll be too late at that time. The chance, the opportunity will be gone. And when Jesus says, make every effort, he's saying we need to think hard. If we've not trusted in the Lord Jesus, we really have to consider his message. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, I'll wait till next year, or I'll wait till my family might find it a bit more palatable. I'll wait till my friends maybe think that, you know, Jesus is something worthwhile investigating. Jesus says, no, don't wait. The door might be closed. Make every effort now to respond to the Lord Jesus. Because when the door closes and we knock, the owner of the house will say, I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. We must be saved. We must enter through the narrow door now. The second thing that Jesus teaches them about being saved is that being saved is to know the Lord Jesus personally. Let me read from the end of verse 25 again. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. Lots of people will be standing outside pleading with Jesus to let them in. Please let us in. Okay, Jesus, we see how horrible this judgment is. We see how miserable it is to stand outside of your salvation. Let us back in. Let us in. But there's no escape. And Jesus will say, I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. Oh, come on, Jesus. I heard about you. Or these men, or these women who were there that day. Jesus, you know what? You were in our street teaching one day. You came to my house for dinner. You bounced my little baby on your knee. And Jesus says, I don't know you. Because you never trusted him personally. The difference between being on the inside, of being saved, of being in the house, rescued, and being on the outside facing judgment, is that we know Jesus personally, and he knows us personally as well. Now, in one sense, of course, Jesus knows everything about us. He's God. He knows everything about everybody. He knows the hairs on our head. Some of you, that might take longer than others. Of course, he knows the details of our lives. He knows the people who are outside. He knows that they're evildoers. But if we want to be on the inside, we have to know him personally. Knowing Jesus personally, the Bible tells us, is to know that he has died to forgive our sins, is to enter through the narrow door, but it doesn't stop there. Knowing Jesus personally, we would suggest that, you know, we know the things that he loves. And we love them ourselves. And we know the things that he hates. And we hate them ourselves. Knowing Jesus personally means that I'm trusting and obeying him with my life. It's following him right now. It's when I read my Bible and I see that I've got to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me, then I will do it. Because I know Jesus personally. I know that's what he wants me to do. And we could thumb through our Bible saying, this is what Jesus, this is what it means to know him personally. I once met Prince Charles. I told you this story? No? But the day I met Prince Charles, I was at Euston Station looking for the toilets. Okay? And I found them in this out-of-the-way platform. I think the proper ones were being done up. But I went into this bathroom and came back out, and suddenly there was a lot of policemen around. And I thought, oh-ho. And what's going on here? And there was this little ramp big enough for a car, and a car starts to come down, and I thought, oh, I'm in a hurry. I'll try and get across the road before the car comes down. And the long arm of the law reached out and grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and said, where do you think you're going, sonny? And as I was pulled back to the side of this little ramp, out stepped Prince Charles and Camilla. And all I had was, there's Prince Charles. Now, I wonder if I turned up at Clarence House or wherever they are tonight and said, Doogie's here for Prince Charles. I wonder how far I would get. Do you not remember Prince Charles? We met once. At Euston Station, I was the one who the copper was pulling back out of the road. I don't know him personally. If I turned up at Clarence House or wherever they are, I wouldn't get very far. I don't know what he likes, what he dislikes. I don't know the things that he's into. I know what he looks like. I know how tall he is. But I don't know him personally. And I certainly couldn't get into his house saying, do you remember me? If I want to get in the door of salvation, if I want to be in that safe house, I need to know Jesus personally. I have to trust and obey. Not only that he saved me, but that my life reflects him, that I know the things that he loves, that I hate the things that he hates. You see, as a Christian, it's very easy to fall into the trap of just coming along on a Sunday, of perhaps doing Christianity Explored or following Jesus Explored. Lots of people know things about Jesus. Lots of people like to come here because, you know, they've got friends and it's warm and it's dry. But that's not knowing Jesus personally. That's not following him. That's not trusting him. That's just knowing about Jesus. And lots of people in Jesus' day knew about him. They'd seen him in the streets. But that wasn't enough for them to be rescued. They must trust him. They must follow him. They must enter through the narrow door and they must know him personally. And if we want to be saved, if we want to be sure that on that last day when the judgment falls that we will be saved, we must know Jesus personally. You see, I think it's safe to presume that the people that Jesus was speaking to were a fairly Jewish audience. It says there in verse 28, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, all those men, all those Jewish patriarchs were going to be there. And I wonder if the people in the crowd that day that Jesus was talking to thought, yeah, we'll be safe because of our heritage. We'll be safe because we're Jewish. And of course, God's going to look after the Jewish people. I wonder if they thought they were safe because just of who they were culturally, religiously. Jesus says, no. No. If we've not entered through the narrow door, if we don't know him personally, how does he describe it? There would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That despairing realization of angry remorse that I heard Jesus. I heard about his teaching. I heard about his cross and his death for me. And I didn't want to know. I didn't trust him. I didn't come to him and ask forgiveness. And now I'm outside. Lastly tonight, and it's a point of real gladness, being saved is to be on the table plan. Verse 29 says, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast at the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. The promise for those who have accepted Jesus, who have come through the narrow door, who know him personally, is that there's going to be a great feast at the end of time. We're going to be part of his new creation, and we can know tonight that we're on the table plan for that last day. You and me, people without any heritage, without anything to bring, without anything to offer. We've been shown real grace. People like you and me, people from the north, people from the south, people from east and west, they're all going to be there, saved because they've come through the narrow door of the Lord Jesus and they know him personally. We get a place at the banquet. We get a place in the new creation. There's no shortage. There's no hunger, there's no thirst, there's no pain and suffering. You and me, because of what Jesus has done. You know what a table plan is, don't you? You've all probably been to weddings. You go to the church for the service, which is great. You turn up at the reception. First thing you do, oh, who am I sitting next to? And great care has gone in to making up that table plan. Great care has gone into making sure that Auntie Mary isn't sitting beside strange Uncle George. Great care has gone into making sure that everyone has a good time, they're next to the right people, and that everyone is going to have a wonderful time at this great meal. Great care is taken in God's feast in the new creation. An even greater level of care has been taken. A greater level of care to make sure that everyone's in the right seat. A greater level of care to make sure that everyone who's there is supposed to be. A greater level of care to make sure that everyone who's there has a brilliant time. A greater level of care to make sure that the unlikeliest people like you and me are there because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And if you've entered in at the narrow door, If you know the Lord Jesus personally, your name's on a table plan right now. Wow, what a thought. What a great thought. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? There's still time to do something about it. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? If we were to turn to the book of Revelation, we'll see that there's going to be a multitude there from north and south and east and west. A multitude, a crowd of people so big from every tribe and nation and language across the planet. And they're all going to be there because the Lord Jesus has rescued them. Have you entered through the narrow door? Do you know the Lord Jesus personally? Is your name on the table plan? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for opening up a door so that we can be saved. Thank you that we can know the Lord Jesus personally. That we're always welcome to come to him and be rescued, but only him. Help us to always see our need for his grace and mercy. Lord, help us to treasure that in our hearts. Father, thank you that because we have entered through the narrow door and we know the Lord Jesus personally, we have great hope for the future. Thank you that our names are on the table list and you're preparing that great banquet even now. Help us tonight to leave rejoicing with that truth ringing in our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.